today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the last chapter, concerning the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read that very early in the morning, as it began to dawn, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. We find then here in this chapter mention made of two women. In Luke, we find there were more than just two women. There were other women that accompanied these women to the grave. Of these women, they had ministered unto the necessities of Christ when he had been upon earth, when he had been preaching. They had been going around with him and supplying him with food and things that were necessary. And they had experienced his wonderful love and his grace, especially the first one mentioned in this chapter, Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Just imagine that. How this woman must have been attached to Jesus Christ after being delivered from such a state and condition in which she was in. She couldn't do anything else but love him. And when he was crucified and nailed to this accursed tree, they had been spectators of this. They had seen how they had performed this, and they had, with broken hearts and tears streaming down their cheeks, watched their beloved being crucified in this horrible manner. And likewise, they had seen how that he had been taken off the cross by Joseph of Arimathea and had been laid in his own sepulcher in the tomb that he had built for himself. They had seen how that his body had been laid therein. They had then been spectators of his burial, and they consented together on their way home that the first day of the week they would get spices and ointments together, and they would go and embalm him, as was the custom of the Jews, thinking probably that Nicodemus and Joseph had not done enough to him. So we find here in the first verse that these women, very early in the morning, before it began to get light, as they were on their way to the sepulcher, love was in their very souls. He was dead, he was buried, but they still loved him. Oh, they thought of him quite a bit, I'm sure. They too probably had their doubts, had their fears, or whether he was the true Messiah, whether he was the Christ, the one that had been promised, the one that had been looked for. They had no doubt about the matter when he was alive. They had seen so many of his miracles and wonders, which took away all their doubts and unbelief. But when this took place, oh, they couldn't understand this, that this had to happen to him. They had no insight in this. And I am sure that they began to think, I wonder whether we have not deceived ourselves in this matter. But still, they had such a burning love in their hearts for him. This brought them up early in the morning, brought them on the way to the grave. They knew nothing about the watch that had been placed there by the Roman rulers and priests, or by the Jewish rulers and priests. But they intended to come to the grave. They had no thought even of the stone that had been rolled towards the door of the grave. Had they thought of this at first, they probably would have went and sought someone to go along with them who would have had the strength to roll this stone away from the door of the grave. But they had no thought of that either. All they had a thought about was to embalm him and to use these spices and ointments which they had prepared and which they had purchased for this deed. And now, while they were going, something already had happened at the grave. A wonder had happened. We find in the next verse, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone that was before the door of the sepulcher, and he sat upon it. and the keepers that were there to watch the grave, when this took place, they were filled with fear. They began to tremble and to quake, and they became as dead men. They were stalled in their tracks. They couldn't move. We have here the majesty and the power of God revealed at this place in this graveyard, especially looking down from heaven and seeing what took place. Oh, this wonder that God sent a messenger to open the grave so that his son could truly come forth. This messenger was clothed with white raiment, and his face shone like lightning. Oh, when he descended, this place was lit up brighter than the day. Oh, the majesty and the glory of this descendant from the glory world came down here upon earth. These keepers, these watchmen, they had never seen anything like this in their lives. They then stood there. They were supposed to take care of the grave. They were to see that none of the followers of Jesus opened it and took away the body. And here they stood, so scared and so frightened that they couldn't even move. Oh, this angel, in defiance of them, he sat upon the stone and has said to them, "Well, now come, take me prisoner. I'm here. I opened the grave. I'm not supposed to do this. It's been sealed, but I broke the seal, and I am liable to the governor's punishment for this." But they didn't. They didn't dare go to this angel. Oh, they were so frightened. This teaches us a lesson, my hearers. Shall you and I ever enter into heaven? Shall we ever have communion with angels and be with them in glory? We can never do this in this body that you and I have. Because if we ever got near any angels, we would do just like these keepers did. They trembled, they shook, they were afraid, and so would you and I be if we were met with anyone from this glory world. We then need a body compared to the body of Jesus Christ. Shall we ever be in glory and be with him? All these keepers then, they immediately began to run. They fled away from this sepulcher in great fear. They ran as fast as they could. They probably never even turned around to look back. They ran into the city of Jerusalem, and they came to the chief priests and told them what had happened. And all when these chief priests and rulers heard this, they immediately gathered the council together, the Sanhedrin, and they had a meeting. And after they had been counseling with each other, they decided that they would give these soldiers great money, and that they should say that Jesus' disciples came while they were asleep and stole the body out of the grave. This they were told to tell people. They were then to make themselves ashamed in the hearing of those that they told it to, because this had not taken place. This was nothing else but a stupid lie. Because if anybody heard them say, "Well, they stole the body while we were sleeping," they would say, "Well, how do you know that? You were sleeping. What do you know was going on when you were sleeping?" That's the first thing you would say, right? They didn't know. They were told to say this by these rulers and by these priests. This teaches us what a lie was spread, and a foolish lie, by these people. This lie was even concurrent, even to that very day when the scripture was written. It was spread among the Jews. And now we will return back to these women. We find these women going to the grave. And now as they're walking along, going to the grave, one of them probably says, "Who shall roll away from the door of the sepulcher the stone that is there?" This was an obstacle that came in their mind and in their way. But they were women. They had no power to roll this great stone away from the door. And they said, "Well, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" Now, they didn't stop there, and they didn't say, "Well, let's go get someone to turn this stone away for us." No. But they, in love, they persevered. They went. This teaches us, my hearers, if we are going to Jesus, if we are seeking Jesus, we will meet with obstacles. There will be things in the way, difficulties. There was then a stone in the way for these women. There was a barrier there. And now how was this stone to be removed? The same way with you and I. We have stones in us that have to be removed. Shall we ever come to Jesus? What are these stones? Let me name three of them for your information. You all by nature, and me too, we have a stony heart. This has to be taken away. And God has promised to take away the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. If this stony heart is never taken away, my hearers, you never will have any affection. You never will have any need. You never will come to Jesus Christ to be saved. This heart must be removed, and a fleshly heart must be given. A heart humbled and broken and contrite. Has it ever taken place in your life? Have you ever had a heart that was broken, melted? Oh, what a mercy, my hearers. If you have had it once, you will be looking for it again and again, to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. There is another stone that you and I have, and that is our will, our obstinate, our rebellious will. So many people today, they have a will. They can obey, they can believe, and they can be saved. They never knew that they have such an obstacle in the way to come to Christ. This will that you and I have wants to go to hell. It wants to serve sin. It wants to serve the world. And it goes. It does. Irrespective of what anybody says to us, on we go. We have our own will, and we're going to do that. Do we not find that in many of the young people today, they have their own will? Are they not obstinate? Are they not rebellious? Do they not want to go on their own way, irrespective of how the parents warn them and speak to them in love? Truly, my hearers. And you have a will like that too, and me too. And now this will, it must be overpowered. We must be made willing in the day of God's power, or we will go on our own way. But when the power of God comes down and breaks this obstinate and this rebellious will, then we fall down before God. Just as the Apostle Paul on the way to Damascus, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We are made willing. Oh, what a mercy. Have you ever been made willing? Oh, it's such a blessing, my hearers, to be won in for God and for his blessed service. To forsake our own will, to forsake the world and everything that's in it, and to be willing to walk in the ways of righteousness for his name's sake. And there's one other stone that I would say, which we all have by nature, and which none of us can overpower, and that is unbelief. We are born in unbelief. We believe the Bible, sure. We believe a lot of things we hear. But this unbelief that we have is such an obstacle that if God does not remove it, it remains. Now, you all come to church. You all read the Bible. You all hear the Bible lessons. Do you believe everything you hear? Don't you put a lot of questions sometimes behind things that you do hear and that you do read? Let me take you back to the beginning of the Bible once. You read about Cain. He went and he built a city and he married a wife. Did it never rise up in your mind, well, where did he get this woman from? He began to, I don't know what to make of this. But these things come up all through the scriptures sometimes. And we have our doubts, we have our unbelief. We dispute the facts that God has given us, unbelief. And all my hearers, even about this lesson today, there are many that dispute the fact that Christ laid 3 days and three nights in the grave. If you want to consider how long he laid there, and you look in the scriptures, you say, I can't make out 3 days and three nights. Scripture says so. We can dispute a lot of things. This is unbelief concerning facts that God has given us in his word. Oh, we are by nature so full of unbelief. But now we must be delivered from this unbelief. And it is only the mighty power of God that can deliver us from this unbelief. And that is the mighty power of faith. Oh, when God comes and overcomes our unbelief. And he does that so simply. Oh, he does it by a messenger. Sometimes by one of his servants, sometimes by a message out of the Bible, sometimes by a message of an ordinary individual. And all the unbelief is broken. The word that is heard is spoken. It comes with power divine. And we believe as we never believed it before. We believe it for our own heart. We become personally involved in what we hear. And oh, what a mercy, my hearers, to have these stones removed. Oh, believe me, if you never are delivered from your unbelief, then you never will come to Jesus. I've been speaking to you about these women. They had this barrier in the way, this obstacle, this stone. They continued, they persevered. And if God has given you that same love in your soul that these women had, then you will persevere through all the obstacles that come in the way. Why? Because you have in your soul such a desire for Jesus, such a need for Jesus. Oh, what wouldn't you, some of you, give if you could find him and possess him and claim him as your Jesus? Who has planted this in you? No one else but God himself. Oh, it has been in you, oh, give me Christ, or I shall perish. And this desire, this vehement desire that you have, has brought you through all obstacles that come up against it and has kept you persevering, looking, praying, seeking to find Jesus. These women, they came to the grave. And when they came to the grave, they saw that the stone was rolled away from the mouth of the grave. How wonderful. This obstacle had been removed even before they got there. They had been worrying about it. They had been thinking about it. But when they got there, it was removed. Haven't you ever had anything like that in your life? Haven't you ever had any obstacles? As I've been speaking, a stony heart and a will that was perverse, that was rebellious, and so much unbelief. All these things rising up in a person. They would attempt, if possible, to keep such a person from Jesus. But if God has given you his grace and his love in your soul, then you have found at times what these women found. All these obstacles have vanished away before the presence of him that has come into your heart. This obstacle had been removed already by an angel coming down from heaven and rolling the stone away from the door of the grave. And this angel, he sat upon this stone. And now these women, they came unto the grave. The angel, he had been for terror and for fear and consternation to these keepers of the grave. But the angel was likewise going to be a source of comfort to these women. For when they came there, then we read that they looked and they entered into the grave. And they seen the angel. This angel, and he was a messenger from God for these women. For they likewise were filled with fear. Let me ask some of you as women, would you want to go to a cemetery early in the morning when it's still dark? Who likes to go to a place like that with all the tombstones and people buried there very early in the morning while it's dark? I'm sure most of the women are very timid. They wouldn't want to go to some place like that, let alone women, even men. They have a lot of fear sometimes too. But these women, they came to this grave very early in the morning. And when they met this angel, that put them also in fear. That frightened them. And now when this angel seen the women, he spake unto them. Oh, he said unto them, fear ye not. For I know that ye seek Jesus who was crucified. All wonderful words, aren't they, my hearers? How many have I listening to me that are filled with fear? Oh, what causes sinners to fear? Especially if they have experienced something of God in their souls. Then they begin to have this subject fear. People by nature don't have any fears. They may fear death, they may fear accidents, but to have fears as God's children have, by nature we don't have them fears. And what do they fear? Oh, they fear sometimes that it's not the work of God in their souls. Oh, they fear sometimes they'll never persevere in the way. That surely they're going to fall into sin and they're going to make the name of Christ be blasphemed. Oh, they have so many fears that they've deceived themselves. That they'll likewise be rejected by Christ because they find themselves to be such great sinners. Oh, they can't overcome sin. It overcomes them so many times. And they begin to fear and think it can't be true. Oh, surely he'd never receive a creature like me. Oh, they are subject to so many fears. And they likewise have so many voices within speaking unto them. And they believe these voices inside because their voices are so true many times. They just tell the person what they are and what they have done. And it silences them. Oh, they fear likewise many times. Maybe there's some listening to me. They fear to come out. They fear to say anything about what's going on inside. They fear that maybe they'll be misjudged by those that they tell it to. Are you the subject of such fears? Have you such fears going on within you? Believe me, it is only the people of God that have them fears. We by nature don't have such fears because we don't have anything going on inside. This fear ye not. Oh, it's so sweet, my hearers. Why? Well, God knows the fears of his people. He knows how they tremble. He knows how undecided they are concerning what's going on in them. Oh, he knows what's necessary for them. And therefore, he has so many fear nots in the Bible. Oh, he has said so many times, fear not, for I am with you. Has he ever said it to you? Has he ever comforted you? Has he ever encouraged you? Has he ever taken away all your fears? Oh, one word from him, fear not ye. Oh, what a mercy to have such a thing in your life and in your very heart. And he said, for I know that ye seek Jesus who was crucified. This angel, an inhabitant of heaven, he knew that these women sought Jesus. Does he know that you seek Jesus? It's known in heaven. If you are a seeker of Jesus, God the Father knows you. God the Son loves you. God the Spirit has commenced that work of seeking Jesus in you. For I know that ye seek Jesus. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, to have a confirmation of this under the reading of the truth, under the preaching of the word, even in the reading of the word at times. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had something like that come home to you and give you to believe that you are a true seeker of Jesus? Oh, my hearers, let me ask you another question. Have you ever went on your knees in secret? Have you ever got down before that God and laid your heart open to him and said, Lord, you know I seek you. You know I need you. You know I want you as my Savior. Have you ever been given to do that by faith? Oh, what a mercy to be able to do this. He knows all our hearts and the secrets therein. This is a secret. We don't tell everybody this, but we do tell God. We can come to God in truth and in uprightness. He knows what's going on within us. Doesn't he? He sure does. And what a mercy to have this going on in us. And under the means of grace, to have a confirmation of it, to give him to believe it for your own heart and soul. This is sweet, this is encouraging, this is strengthening to faith. Oh, do not deny the day of small things if something like this has happened to you in this life. It's great, my dear, it's very great. These women, they had such wonderful words spoken to them, comforting words. For I know that ye seek Jesus, who was crucified, all my hearers, to find Jesus and to believe in Jesus and to know that he was crucified for you and for me should be the main thing in our life. He himself says, seek ye not the world, for the world and all what is in therein shall pass away. Oh, what profiteth a man if he gain the whole world and he lose his own soul? Seek ye me. Oh, may I entreat you, my beloved Bible class, to seek him. I've often said to you, you'll lose nothing by seeking him. And by not seeking him, you will lose him. But by seeking him, you may find him to the joy and to the happiness of your soul. And these women, they sought him. They came to him. They loved him exceedingly. And they came to this sepulcher to do this act of love to him. And here they had a wonderful message spoken to them. They had a confirmation from heaven that God knew them, that God loved them, that Jesus loved them, that the Spirit was working in them. And now this same angel, he spake unto them and said, he is not here. He is risen. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. He is not here. He is risen. Oh, haven't you ever had anything like this in your life, my hearers? Oh, you've experienced something, as I've been describing. But he, who you're seeking, you did not find. They came to find Jesus. He was dead. They came to find a dead Jesus, but they didn't find him. But they found something from Jesus. Oh, yes. They found some wonderful words spoken to them from this messenger, the angel. Oh, it was sweet for them. But he was not there. Hasn't it been that way with you, some of yous? Oh, you've had it so good under the gospel, so good under the word, so good under prayer sometimes. And you were all alive. Oh, you were so strengthened and comforted. But not him. It was something of him, and that was sweet, but it was not him. He is not here. He wasn't in that. He was with his spirit, with his word, but himself personally, he was not there. He is not here. He is risen. This was wonderful for these women. He is risen. Well, they had come to find a dead Jesus, and he was alive. He was risen. Oh, what a wonderful word this was for them. Come and look. They were allowed to look. They knew just the way he had been laying there. They had seen him buried there. And now, when they looked, he wasn't there. He was really and truly risen from that place. The angel had said it. Oh, this was a wonder for them. They had never expected this. Their hopes, their expectations of Jesus were practically gone. But now, when they were told this, all this with faith given unto them was received. They believed this. And my hearers, these women were likewise told that they should go quickly and tell his disciples, and ye shall meet with him in Galilee. Lo, I have told you. The angel then commanded them to go quickly and tell his disciples. Oh, this is sweet too, my hearers. I wonder if you ever did like these women. You ever have anything from the Lord? Ever have anything given to you in your soul? And I am sure if he has given you something like he did to these women, and your soul has been like a bottle of wine ready to burst, you wanted to tell somebody. Oh, you wanted to meet with some of God's dear children. and you wanted to tell them what God did to you. Oh, you couldn't wait. Maybe you took the phone. You got the phone and started to call this person up and tell that person. You did it quicker than the women did. The women, they had to walk. But they were commanded to go to the disciples and tell them. God in heaven knew what was going on with these disciples. He knew what sorrow, what grief that these disciples were in. How cast down they were. What had they done? They had denied their master. They hadn't come out for him. Especially Peter. They all had ran away. And there they sat down. He who they thought was the Messiah, who was the Savior, and who they even confessed to be so. What? He had been crucified. He had died. He was buried. Did we deceive ourselves? Was it wrong? Wasn't it true? Oh, they had voices inside you. But there was one voice that said, it couldn't be anything else but true. Nobody could have done the things that he did. This I believe they had within them. Although their hopes were shattered and they thought that, yeah, who he was, they couldn't make out anymore. Here they were sitting in this place in a dejected mood, and God saw them. And he commissioned by the mouth of the angel these women to go to his disciples. Oh, and we read, and they went out of the sepulchre with haste. They ran. They didn't just walk, but they ran. Oh, they were so filled with joy at the message of the angels that they couldn't wait to get to the disciples. Have you ever been that way? Oh, if God ever does anything for your soul, and you know some of God's dear people, you would like to run to them and tell them. And encourage them too, especially if he delivers your soul, especially if he pardons your sins, especially if he sets you into liberty. Oh, then you can't wait until you get to someone to tell them all about it. Oh, what a mercy, my heroes, that God commands even his children to do this, that they should speak with one another. If they are comforted, it is possible that God may comfort them with the same comfort that you have received. These women, they were commanded then to run, to go hastily, and they ran. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, that God sometimes meets us. When we are so filled with himself already, then he adds a little more to it. This is what these women experienced. As they were going, hastening to the disciples, lo, Jesus met them. Just as the angel had said unto them, ye shall meet him there, they met him before he even got to Galilee. Oh, he met them, and he raised his hand, and he said, all hail. Oh, who was that? They looked. Oh, that's Jesus. That's the one that was crucified. That was the one that we ministered unto. Oh, all hail. That was words as much as to say, rejoicing. Oh, they had reasons now to rejoice. He revealed himself to them, to these women. He made himself known. And all my heroes, these women, they fell down before him. And they adored him. In love and affection, they fell at his feet. As their Lord, as their Master, as their Savior, and they worshiped him, it says. Oh, they couldn't do anything else but worship him. How wonderful this must have been for them, that this precious Savior met them in this wonderful way. Oh, has he ever met with you? Have you ever had a desire that he would do the same thing to you as he did to these women? Has it ever risen up in your heart under the means of grace, under the teaching of thy word, that you likewise would experience what these saints experience? Oh, what a mercy if we have what we sing sometimes, the grace thou showest to thy saints, that grace revealed to me. You ever seen that with your heart? You ever had such a desire? What a mercy when we read things in the Bible and we hear things of others that our hearts are jealous and long and desire to have the same things. These women, they experienced then the love of Christ, for he knew them, he loved them. And he likewise came so surprisingly, so unexpectedly to them. They expected at first to tell the disciples and then go into Galilee, which was about 100 miles from them. But here he met them on the way. Oh, if we are in the way of Christ, if we are in the way of duty, if we are in the way which he commands us, coming under the means of grace, reading his word, seeking his face, we are apt to meet him unexpectedly, suddenly. Haven't you ever met him that way? Haven't you ever been in exercise, in prayer sometimes? So dead, so lifeless. Oh, nothing, nothing, no feeling what you said. And then suddenly, the heart is melted. The words that you say become truth. Oh, the feeling presence of God round about you. So unexpectedly, so surprisingly. Oh, may you be active in this. And then you might meet him more often. Oh, may God bless my feeble instruction this day out of this message to you. That's all for today.